brought to you by Penguin.
The Eagle and the Heart, The Tragedy of Richard II and Henry IV. Written and read by me, Helen Castor. The king must be thus made, for he must sit in a chair clothed in purple, crowned on his head, in his right hand a sceptre, and in the left hand an apple of gold, for he is the greatest and highest in dignity above all other, and most worthy. And that is signified by the crown, for the glory of the people is the dignity of the king. William Caxton, The Game and Play of the Chess, 1474. Translation of Jacopo da Cesole, Liber de Moribus Hominum et Officiis Nobilium ac Popularium Super Ludo Scacorum, circa 1300. Be not thyself, for how art thou a king but by fair sequence and succession? William Shakespeare, The Tragedy of King Richard II, Act 2, Scene 1. Author's Note. All quotations from primary sources in the main body of the text are given in modernised form. I've occasionally made minor adjustments to published translations from non-English sources. Distances are given as the crow flies, in rounded numbers. Sums of money are mainly given in English pounds, shillings and pence. There were 12 pence to the shilling and 20 shillings to the pound. Some round numbers are given in marks, a mark being another unit of account, rather than coinage, valued at two-thirds of a pound, 13 shillings and fourpence. For the names of people and places, I've sought to prioritise clarity and consistency for ease of comprehension. So, for example, England's territories in southwestern France, the extent of which shifted dramatically during different phases of the Anglo-French War, are called Aquitaine throughout, rather than Gascony or Guienne, names with slightly more restricted, though still flexible, geographical connotations, which were also in contemporary usage. For individuals, I've settled on one identifying name, rather than changing designation over time as they acquired different noble titles. Sometimes, as in the case of Edward III's sons, that means their place of birth, so Lionel of Antwerp, John of Gaunt, or Ghent, Edmund of Langley, Thomas of Woodstock. For others, I've used a family name, such as Mowbray or De Vere, or a nickname, Hotspur or Boucicault. And when none of those options is straightforwardly available, I've stuck with the first title acquired, for example, Edward, Earl of Rutland, who subsequently gained and lost the Dukedom of Aumale before eventually inheriting the Dukedom of York. I've also used different linguistic forms, where possible, to offer a flavour of the multilingual world of late medieval Europe, or to distinguish between different characters who share the same name. However, I've retained anglicised names where they're overwhelmingly familiar. For example, John, Duke of Burgundy, rather than Jean, Duke of Bourgogne. Many of these characters will be familiar to anyone who knows Shakespeare's history plays, but because of their changes of title over time, they don't all appear here under the names Shakespeare used. So, for example, my Thomas of Woodstock, Edmund of Langley and Edward of Rutland are Richard II's Gloucester, York and Aumale. Several characters also seem significantly older on stage than the true age of their historical selves, among them Shakespeare's Gaunt and Henry himself in the Henry IV plays. For anyone in search of further information or clarification, I hope the directory of the main players in the accompanying PDF will help. Introduction. Richard of Bordeaux and Henry of Bolingbroke were first cousins, born in 1367, just 3 months apart. They were 10 years old when Richard became King of England. They were 32 when, in 1399, Henry overthrew him to become king in his place. It was a shocking and intensely dangerous moment. The authority of the crown, contemporaries believed, was instituted by God to rule the kingdom and its people. England's sovereign was required to be both a warrior and a judge to protect the realm from external attack and internal anarchy. To depose the king, therefore, was to risk everything, worldly security and immortal soul, by challenging the order of God's creation. Such devastatingly radical act.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?